It's here and now. Long lines are being reported at some polling places in Tehran as Iranians vote in the first presidential election since the 2009 disputed election of President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. That election led to widespread protests and a violent government crackdown. NPR's Steve Inskeep has been reporting from Iran this week, and he joins us from Tehran. Hi there, Steve.
Glad to be back on the program.
So today is election day in Iran. What have you seen so far?
Well, we began the day by watching Iran's supreme leader vote, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. He is not elected by the people, but by a small group of elites. He was chosen more than two decades ago to succeed Ayatollah Khomeini, the founder of Iran's revolution. And he's actually more powerful than the guy who is being elected today, the guy that he voted for. He dropped a ballot in a plastic box. He also made a statement, which was rather provocative. Ayatollah Khamenei noted that U.S. officials have criticized the rather limited range of candidates in Iran's presidential election, and he used a Persian expression, a Farsi expression, that translates the hell with them.
Now, that limited list, it's roughly eight candidates or even fewer now. It began at 600. So I'm wondering if you've been able to speak with any regular Iranians and what they say about that limited list. Do they feel that they like the selection that's in front of them?
Oh, absolutely. There are some Iranians who will defend the system. They'll say, look at your system in the United States. You only have two parties. But there are also people who are greatly disappointed, who had candidates they wanted to support, many of whom seemed qualified, one of whom was a former president, who were not allowed to run because another small group of Iranian leaders decided that they were not qualified to run. But with that said, Meghna, let me mention that also today I've been going around to some polling places, and there's a fair number of people who are either excited by the possibility of one candidate or another, or who at least feel that an important choice is being made here in Iran. Again, the clerics have ultimate power. Whoever is elected president has limited power. But you have a candidate like Saeed Jalili, who is Iran's nuclear negotiator, who is positioning himself very much as a hardline conservative who wants to continue resisting the United States, using a culture of resistance, actually, is his phrase, against economic sanctions, U.S.-led economic sanctions that are really devastating Iran. There are other people who have said one of their most vital concerns is the economy, and another of their most vital concerns is better relations with the world, and that includes people who've said to us in front of a microphone on tape they want better relations with the United States. That can be something of a daring thing to say here, but it's a widespread view, and I think it's a view that's held by some of the elites as well as people on the street.
This is really interesting, Steve, because in your reporting, I've also heard you say that people in Iran feel that they can speak more freely during election season than perhaps at other times of the year. So I wonder, do you get any sense from average Iranians that you're speaking to at polling places? Is there sufficient discontent or concern over the possible outcome of this election such that we might see street protests like the ones we saw after the election of President Ahmadinejad in 2009?
You know, I don't see any sign of street protests yet. And first, we really ought to wait and see what the result of the election is. It could be that people will end up very happy with this result, or at least not too dissatisfied with the result. But there was immense hope that a reformist candidate would be elected in 2009. Mousavi, the candidate, the leading candidate of that year, appeared to be the favorite. And then suddenly, very abruptly, very early on election night, was declared the loser in favor of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. And so people rode a very high wave of hope, and then the wave crashed on the beach, and there was great disappointment that led to many, many, many months of protests and then a violent repression by the government. I don't think there's a lot of optimism this time around. There's actually a lot of quiet. There's a lot of people who have said that they're just not interested in voting this time. And in fact, this has gotten to the point where reform forces have been urging their people to come to the polls. Don't let the conservatives win by default. And at the same time, Iran's supreme leader has been urging people to get out and vote because he would like to send a message, he says, to outside powers, especially the United States, that the people are behind him.
Steve, you mentioned the sanctions, particularly the U.S. sanctions, that are having a crippling effect on Iranians and the country. But are they having the intended effect on the government?
I think it is reasonable to say that they have had the effect of dividing Iran's elites. There are many people who seem to think it is time to negotiate a deal, not surrender to the United States. But at the same time, I want to stress there are a lot of people in the elites, and we can probably count Iran's supreme leader among them, who deeply, profoundly distrust the United States, who suspect that they couldn't get a good deal from the United States even if they were willing to make one, and who feel that they have to push on and somehow weather this storm. And they still might for a while, because as you drive around Tehran, it's clear that while vast numbers of people are suffering, middle-class people feel they're sliding into poverty, there are also people who make a lot of money in hard times, and you see evidence of that as well.
NPR's Steve Inskeep has been reporting from Iran this week, speaking to us today from Tehran. Steve, thank you so much.
Happy to help.